Cities and Securities, a special CBS News broadcast on New York City's financial crisis. I'm Robert Shackney, CBS News.
I trust we have all learned the hard lesson that no individual, no family, no business, no city, no state, and no nation can go on indefinitely spending more money than it takes in. As we count our Thanksgiving blessings, we recall that Americans have always believed in helping those who help themselves. New York has finally taken the tough decision it had to take to help itself. In making the required sacrifice, the people of New York have earned the encouragement of the rest of the country.
That was President Ford at a news conference just 1 hour ago, offering his plan to save New York City from insolvency. The president's plan, which is now the only plan under consideration, would provide short-term federal loans for New York over the next 2.5 years. The amount, $2.3 billion. The loans to be repaid annually and the lending period to come to an end on June 30, 1978. The loans are designed to pay for some basic city expenses, including payrolls and salaries, and cover the city's short-term deficits. The president says he's not really bailing New York out, because New York had met conditions he insisted on, such as trimming its budget, laying off workers, putting a moratorium on its debts, and making labor unions, banks, and bondholders take part of the risk and share part of the cost. New York's Governor Hugh Carey says he was pleased by the president's decision, but that it represents a vindication of New York's case and of the merits of New York. The federal help that the president offered is the final part of a $9 billion plan devised by state and city officials to keep the city functioning until 1978. CBS News business editor Ray Brady outlines the plan.
Of most importance to New Yorkers, the plan calls for more taxes. Over $200 million in new taxes have already been approved for what already is the most taxed city in the country. Smokers will be paying more for cigarettes, 4 to 5 cents a pack more in taxes. Then there are non-federal inheritance taxes for city residents, up 50%. More sales taxes, an increase in the city income tax of 25%. In addition, there'll be more spending cuts to reduce the cost of running New York City, and the municipal pension funds will put up $2.5 billion, matched now, as President Ford told us this evening, by a $2.3 billion loan from the federal government, a loan with some very tough strings attached to it.
Whatever the strings, there's a collective sigh of relief in the banking and business communities and in city halls all over the country, because there's been concern and a considerable debate over the impact when a city, the largest city in the country, faces default and bankruptcy. Cities are an essential part of the national economy, as CBS News correspondent George Herman reports.
Federal Reserve Board Chairman Arthur Burns, a man not exactly inside the administration, but certainly a voice listened to by the president, sounded the first note of caution a few weeks ago. He told the Congress he was more worried now about the national impact of a New York City default than he had been, and was keeping a careful eye on the money markets. Burns promised to keep all banks with New York City bonds healthy and in business, but he said the impact of a default on the economy would be clearly negative. And as the November figures on the state of the economy came in, unemployment up, inflation up, consumer confidence down, it became clearer and clearer that a negative impact was just exactly what the economy did not need. The problem for President Ford is that any negative impact on the economy would almost certainly come at just exactly the wrong time. The consensus among Washington economists is that this recovery will continue its pretty good shape through the first 6 months of 1976, but may well begin to falter just about the time of the political conventions. And while the Federal Reserve Board will keep the banks which hold New York City obligations fully liquid for 6 months or so, at the end of that time, banks will begin to absorb their losses themselves, and that will force them to decrease their business loans at exactly the time when the economy will need such loans to expand. All in all, it just doesn't seem like a good risk to take, either for the sake of the economy or for the political future of the president and his party.
The kind of domino effect of a New York default that worries so many mayors and urban officials throughout the country has to do with the state of the municipal bond market. It doesn't have to be default, but just the threat of default in New York, and cities everywhere start finding it harder to borrow. For example, there's a story of Boston Mayor Kevin White.
Our bond rating hasn't gone down, but we're having trouble selling our bonds. We wound up selling our bonds that are grade A bonds at short-term notes at 9%. And before, we sold them not 3 months ago at 6%. Mm. No one would buy in the market. The truth is that there's no market for municipal lending. And unless that is cured very quickly, there's going to be an awful crisis in an awful lot of cities, no matter what kind of shape they're in now.
The issue is, has the president's offer saved New York from default? Can New York meet its payments, meet its payrolls, meet its obligations because of what President Ford has proposed? With me in the studio are Brenton Harries, president of Standard & Poor's Bond Rating Service, Ken Auletta, a writer for New York Magazine and Village Voice, and CBS News business specialist Ray Brady. Let me start off by asking, will the president's proposal do the job? Is New York clear of the risk of major insolvency? I'll start with Brenton Harries.
No, I don't think New York is clear of a major insolvency. The president's plan provides for one-year loans to the city in a seasonal basis, and each loan must be repaid each year prior to the next year. The I think a very positive sign to New Yorkers and all of this is that the president has moved off dead center in saying that, yes, he would approve a bill that did provide some money for New York City, but there are many, many more things that need to be done in order for New York City to get out from under the cloud that it's under and reach the level where it can again tap the general market as it must do.
Well, who won? Who won this fight? The president who says he didn't bail out New York, or the governor who says New York's position has been vindicated? Ken Auletta?
I think there's assembling on both sides. I think Ford has switched his position. He had said originally it would not be a catastrophe if New York defaulted. Obviously, he implicitly assumed it would be a catastrophe. He's also said that in the past that he was concerned that it would create an open of Pandora's box for other cities. He said nothing about that tonight. As the President fairly pointed out, Governor Kerry and state and city leaders had said that there was nothing else that or further New York could do, and obviously they have done further things. So I think there's been a shifting of positions and a game of pin the tail on the Republican elephant or the Democratic donkey, and I think and both have gotten pinned, probably.
Well, as you add up the numbers, are the dollars there so that New York can repay this debt that the President said had to be repaid every year? Can New York really meet its costs? Can it balance its budget in 3 years? Is this realistic? Ray Brady.
I think it's probably incalculable at this point, but I think the city is certainly going to have a very tough time meeting these loan requirements. And I think the president probably put them on because he is not opening a Pandora's box, because I would guess that any other city will think twice when it sees the conditions that this loan has been granted under. They are very tough strictures, it seems to me.
When will we have, in your view, the next crisis? Is this the, are we done with these cliffhangers? Is something more to come? Let me go to Brenton Harries.
There are several things that the city of New York must expect to happen yet. There is approximately $1.6 billion of short-term notes on which the legislation provides a moratorium. It is expected and hoped that these note holders will convert their notes into MAC paper, that's Municipal Assistance Corporation. And it's important to recognize that the state has done a great deal here, more than any of the other 49 states have yet to face, and let's hope they don't have to face it. They have taken over, that is, the state of New York has taken over the budgetary control of the city of New York. They have put in place two mechanisms, a Municipal Assistance Corporation to be a financing vehicle and an Emergency Control Board to govern the budgetary policies of the city. It is a sad comment that it still requires federal aid or federal loans to permit the time necessary for these two mechanisms to truly operate as we hope they can in New York and bring about further reforms that are necessary both in the city pension plans, which will be necessary. The burdens of this are very strong on the city for many years to come, and some of the union contracts and productivity clauses, which must be changed to bring about basic change so that the city can remain an economic viably, rather an economically viable entity.
Well, it is your business to rate cities, how good their bonds are, what kind of credit risks they are. The president has, in effect, set a deadline of 2.5 years, said New York must be a good credit risk by itself in 2.5 years. Any chance of New York
selling bonds, not being a war to the federal government in as short a period as 2.5 years?
I think it's going to be very difficult for New York City to re-enter the capital markets. I think it's important, Bob, to recognize that the president made it very clear that these were loans to New York State, and New York State must work with the problems in New York City. New York, the city is a creature of the state, and it's up to the state now to carry out the fine work, I think, that has been done by the governor up to now. There is a great deal more to come, but at least on this Thanksgiving Eve, we who live in New York have something to be thankful for.
Ken Auletta.
One of the things that confuses me here, Bob, is that the problem that Mac and the governor have tried to deal with is to convert short-term city debt into long-term debt to get the city over the hump of the next several years. What it seems to me the president has reimposed upon the city is more short-term debt obligations, which must be repaid within 1 year. How the city does that without perhaps raising new taxes to pay back that new federal debt, I'm not sure it can succeed.
Are you saying you don't accept the numbers that have been put forward by the city and state in its financial plan or the president?
I think there's valid reason to question whether, in fact, the city, under the plan proposed by Gerald Ford tonight, will have sufficient cash to pay back the federal government by June 30, the end of the city fiscal year, without imposing taxes above the $205 million already imposed.
There is, I suppose, also the unanswered question, the president didn't address himself to it, of what happens to the state of New York, whose fiscal solvency is very much in question, whose fiscal solvency was not addressed by the president, partly because it's so politically difficult. The governor wanted to impose new taxes, $800 million worth. That ran into Republican opposition in the state legislature. It didn't pass. Is the state of New York, in your view, facing the risk of serious insolvency, right?
I think they are facing a need to raise taxes even more than anyone has talked about. And I think that that's going to make for added problems for the city because and the state, because taxes have gone so high already that we've got a flight of industry and of people leaving the city, going to the two states next to us, which have far lower taxes and have no income taxes in both Connecticut and New Jersey. So I think we're going to see another flight from New York City of corporations and executives.
Which merely compounds our problem. The city's, in a certain sense, the credit problem is just an indication of the real problem in New York, which is the income problem, the loss of income. New York has lost 1 out of 10 jobs in the last 5 years. And the problem of how you get sustaining revenues for the city of New York is really the tough problem for New York. And by raising taxes, you may raise more revenue in 1 year, but do you, over a long period of time, just drive people and important taxpayers out of the state?
I talked to a real estate broker in Connecticut this afternoon who said he had gotten 100 telephone calls during the day from New Yorkers looking for property.
There is a school of thought that has long held that New York's problems are less the fiscal mismanagement of particular mayors and controllers and symptoms of some long-term ills that have not been faced. Specifically, New York has lost 1.5 million of its middle-class white population that's been replaced by an equal number of minority people, black and Puerto Rican, most of them poor. Equally, in the same period of time, New York has been losing jobs. 500,000 manufacturing jobs in the last 25 years and over 500,000 jobs of all kinds in the last 6 years. And that translates into several $1 billion of lost tax revenue. By this token, it is argued by some people, fiscal austerity doesn't provide an answer, that something else has to be faced, that more is needed. What more is needed for long-term health in New York? Ken Auletta.
Among other things, I think clearly the city has and the state have a justifiable case that the federal government has not paid its fair share of the cost for the cities throughout the country, not just New York. I mean, welfare is a national problem, not a New York City problem, yet New York has borne the major share of the burden for that. That's one thing. Certainly, the city and the state and the federal government have never devised a uniform economic development program, and it is really kind of obscene and silly that various states can offer tax advantages to induce a businessman to leave New York and set up his business there, which New York State, because of its constitution, cannot do. In a certain sense, it represents a form of blackmail to businesses to come out there and locate in Atlanta or Georgia or Texas.
As a viewer of cities and their fiscal health, Mr. Harries, would you say that this kind of plan alone can save New York, or are more structural reforms of the kind just outlined needed? Welfare reform, general urban assistance?
There is a huge amount of work that will have to be done yet to make the city viable. The president's plan calls for short-term loans. He calls for borrowing on the part of the state of New York that would be senior securities of debt of either the state or the city. I'm not certain which. This is strictly a short-term plan to provide cash for further change, and this change has got to come about. There are many cities throughout the United States that are not suffering this type of cash problem. For example, Milwaukee, Houston, Dallas. I could name several others that don't have the volume of short-term debt that calls for constant refunding and turnover. And I think this is terribly important. They've been able to structure their revenues to, or rather their expenditures, to live within the revenue flow available to them. The problem in Boston that I heard Kevin White, the mayor of Boston, speak about on the news a moment ago, is really a more of a marketing problem than anything, because unfortunately Boston is one of the aging cities of the Northeast, and this disease has spread from New York to Boston on to Philadelphia and may soon attack others. But there are basic problems of changes that New York must bring about, and New York has a marvelous opportunity to lead the way now, given the time that the federal government has provided through President Ford's message.
Well, can New York lead itself out? After all, a couple of things have happened that seem to be detrimental to New York's health. Higher taxes presumably will drive people and businesses out. Reduced services are not going to encourage businesses and people to stay in New York or come to New York. Schools with more overcrowded classes and a deteriorating public school system are not an attraction. Everything seems to be negative for New York. Why, in your view, or anyone's view at this round table, should we have any hope for New York under these circumstances? Ray Brady.
Bob, there are still some things the city can do and hasn't as yet. For example, it still has rent controls, which means it's highly uneconomic. In today's market, especially for buying fuel oil, for anyone to try to run an apartment house. There are millions of dollars in taxes and arrears that the city has not yet collected. And there are all sorts of tax-free property all over New York City that I think someone has got to take a second look at and figure out how we can tax some of this property. Being the world financial center, we've attracted all sorts of foundations and other people who pay no taxes on that property. So there are a lot of things the city can do and hasn't done as yet to raise its own revenues.
A dissenting view, Ken Oletta.
Most of the tax exempt properties are government properties or church properties or foundation properties, and you have some constitutional questions on taxing them.
Well, but, certainly, yes, but I think the point is they had said at one point they would look into it and perhaps do something.
Yeah, but they did, but they found that you're talking about several million dollars. Most of the real estate taxes uncollected, it's about $500 million, is from abandoned properties. The problem of imposing rent control, which maybe provide an incentive for some new landlords, it also might well drive out more middle-class people from the city of New York. The problem with the city today is that we face it. We're in this terrible Hobson's choice. In order to resolve our credit problems, we have to do things that undermine our income problems. So that, it's very hard to be optimistic about the city of New York because of that.
Let me ask Ken Oletta another question. He's been writing a number of stories about the culpability of public officials in this city and in this state for the sad state of New York right now, New York City. Who are the villains? And since many of them are still about, do you have any real hope, Ken Oletta, of New York resolving its problems?
Well, you have two separate questions. Fortunately, I think the villains will not be part of the solution. They help create the problem. I think the real villains, the first part of your question, are obviously the last three mayors of New York City, Bob Wagner, John Lindsay, and Abe Beame. But also, in addition to them, a whole series of members of the city council and the state legislature. Nelson Rockefeller, who is governor, approved and winked at many of these budgets and the tricks that led to them. The national and federal government, which had the policy of really of ignoring or benign neglect to most of the cities in the country. In terms of how we get out of it, I must say I am not a very, I wake up in the morning, I'm not optimistic, though I love New York, I wouldn't move anywhere else. But it's hard to see how, when you project the unemployment trends in the city of New York and you talk to economists, it's hard to see an upturn in New York.
One central problem for me, as I've examined the budget, is the fact that In New York, unlike any other city, the suburbs seem to pay less of a share. I tried to calculate what the New York budget would be if it were budgeted as Chicago is and discovered it would be 1/4 the present size. That really means that the suburbs are bearing a larger burden of the costs. Is there any cure in New York short of changing the role of the suburbs in the city, regional government?
Canaletta. Here's how you get into the nitty-gritty of the political problem there. The Democratic program in the city and the state is to propose a commuter tax, to tax commuters more heavily than they are today. So it's to equalize that tax base more fully and regionalize it, as you say, Bob. And yet the Republicans, whose base is located in the suburbs, have resisted that move. And understandably, because the voters in their districts would resist that move. So commuter tax has always failed in New York.
But very briefly, let me go around the table in our remaining time. To sum it up, what are the probabilities that the president's plan, the city and state bailout program all together will save New York? Is New York a declining or surviving city? What's its future? Brenton Harry, the Standard & Poor's.
There is no question that on the short-term run, the president's plan of getting off dead center about giving aid to New York City will provide the state additional time in which to bring about the reforms which are absolutely required in the administration of New York and in the budgetary controls. I don't see anything in the president's plan that strikes at the heart of the problem of urban America, that is the declining of the center city.
Ken Auletta.
I concur in that judgment that I think what the city and all cities are going to need, and not just big cities like New York or older cities like New York, they're going to need a national urban policy, and we haven't had one to date.
Ray Brady.
I have to go along with that. As I said earlier, I think the city itself still has reforms that it can make, and I think it's getting time, it's getting breathing spell, and I think it's going to have to act, and it's going to have to act fairly fast.
I think it's the consensus of this group here that the president's plan has probably averted technical default. That is, New York will not fail to pay a debt coming due because of a moratorium. That the president's plan, probably with the state's plan, altogether prevents major insolvency, bankruptcy, that the city and the state of New York will get through a period of time. How long that period of time is unknown to us, but I think collectively from our different perspectives, this group here believes that we haven't seen the last of fiscal crises. In the long term, I think it's our general consensus that New York may not be able to make it unless there are some far more basic reforms designed to treat some fundamental problems. First, the problems of urban America. Secondly, the problems of regional tax bases. And within the city of New York, of course, drastic reforms of the way the city is run. Solutions are not easily found. It's been pointed out this evening that we are facing unpleasant choices. All the alternatives are unpleasant. Raising taxes to increase revenues and cut deficits drives away the middle class and increases the downturn. Failing to raise taxes, of course, leaves us with a deficit. I think it's a consensus that this has been a start. An awful lot of politics went into this decision. The president's plan is delayed paying the piper, but we're not sure without many, many changes in national policy towards cities whether at some point we in the cities, we in New York and we in the cities everywhere, may not have to pay a price later. This has been a special CBS News broadcast, Cities and Securities, Robert Shackney, CBS News.
This is News Radio 88, WCBS, New York.